We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I went in there, I about threw up. All right, have a little bit more social awareness. That's to take a piss, don't take a shit in the porta potties. All right?
All right, welcome to another edition of the Butting Heads Podcast. Proud part of Rimstock Radio and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Steve Ribeiro. Johnny will be joining us momentarily, as will our friend Sosa from Underdog Fantasy, formerly the Lockdown Rams Podcast. And yeah, that's my intro. We just wrapped up. It's fun convo. We're going to talk about what we saw this year, what we want the team to do next year, a lot of good stuff. We are going to throw it to an ad real quick, and then we will get down with Sosa.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. We are here once again with Underdog Fantasy's Sosa Cremegens. Did I get that right?
Close enough. It's no biggie.
I feel like I used to get it right, and then I forgot, and I forgot to prep myself. But Sosa, formerly of the Locked On Rams podcast and big name over on Rams Twitter, how, be honest, are you happy or sad you didn't host a Rams podcast this year?
Actually, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise, but I will say I took off last year in January, so I also didn't get to do the playoffs, so I did miss the Super Bowl, so... for every good thing, there's a bad thing, I guess, as well. The Super Bowl was unfortunate in that run. That would have been super fun to cover, obviously, especially after putting in a whole season's worth of work. But then at the same time, I got to miss out on this season, which I definitely will not complain about because that was hard to watch and that was not very entertaining, obviously.
Yeah, it was tough sledding getting through, you know, the November and December of this podcast. We were just talking briefly before we started recording, like, thank God they brought in Baker. The post game after the Raiders game, Johnny and I did, was one of the most fun podcasts I think I've done since we started. But other than that, it still wasn't even great with Baker in here.
Yeah, that was a fun game to watch for sure. And probably the best game of the season, which is obviously very telling. Not a great season for the Rams. But, I mean, at some point, the bill is going to come due in terms of injuries. That's one thing I definitely want to highlight is they've probably been by far the healthiest team since 2017, since Sean McVay took over. And at some point, you know, that it was just going to not be that way. And unfortunately for them, obviously, it came all at once and basically threw the entire season in the gutter. But, you know, I mean, even going into this season, I think people who were very, very realistic knew that they weren't going to be a Super Bowl contender. The hope was sort of to at least make the playoffs, maybe contend to win the NFC West. But, you know, when you lose so many players, especially at one position or at the same position, that's when it just really becomes hard to replace. So, you know, the Rams kind of had to go through that this season, unfortunately. But, you know, that it is what it is. That just kind of happens to everyone at some point.
Yeah, and it's an interesting discussion because I think, like, I think I'm with you where, you know, I don't know. Obviously, it was the absolute worst case scenario by any circumstances for the offensive line and most of the team as a whole, like Stafford and Kupp. But even like the half of the season we had those guys, it just, I didn't feel like if the offensive line stayed healthy for 17 games, like, I don't know how good this team would have been. Like you said, like, you know, Johnny and I think we're optimistic that once they should be a team in the playoffs, and once you're in the playoffs, I mean, all you have to do is win four games, and there are pieces in the building that make you think they could have done that. But yeah, like you said, they lost a bunch of pieces, and like I think even considering the benefit of the doubt we give this team because of how much of a disaster the offensive line was, that first half of the season, it still felt like something was missing. Like it felt like if those five guys that started week one started week one through eight, I don't know how much better the team would have been. It certainly wouldn't have been worse. But like I just, it felt like even if for the most part we stayed a normal amount of healthy, because obviously there's gonna be some injuries, I don't really know if they win over nine games. I mean 10 probably at the absolute most. But it just, like, what do you think it was? Like, what is it you think is really just they lost a bunch of guys and they didn't really replace them, and that's something that's been happening for a while, but they've just kind of figured it out. And this year, yeah, like you said, the bill came due.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I've thought about this many times, and I think we're probably right in the exact same frame of mind in the sense that if everything had stayed, you know, as healthy as possible, and the O-line was what they intended for it to be in week one, and Stafford plays every game, and Cooper Kupp's healthy and everything like that, I still think you're looking at a team at best that's going to win between 8 to 10 games, right? I think you're looking at something very similar to what the Seattle Seahawks did this season, where you maybe squeak in as like the seventh seed or something like that at best. You definitely don't win the NFC West, and you know you probably don't really stand a chance to win a playoff game. But I just think they went into this season a little bit hard-headed. I don't know if that was sort of their intention or how they came to the frame of mind that they thought that this roster was going to be good enough, because we know that they went into this season thinking they wanted to acquire an edge rusher, and there was really no other way for them to do it outside of trade to help replace the loss of Von Miller. You're never really going to replace a guy like that. And they tried to take a big swing at Brian Burns throughout the season. They tried to go get Danielle Hunter in the offseason, and they couldn't get either player. Now, they offered a ton of picks to go get Brian Burns, and they couldn't close the deal. Maybe a blessing in disguise. I'm not really sure. We'll see kind of how the hindsight shakes out. But, you know, even if you get a Brian Burns, you're still looking at a roster that's just flawed. Like, the cornerback rotation was awful outside of Jalen Ramsey this season. You lose a few safeties. There was nobody really all that reliant back there all season, in my opinion. And offensive line, I mean, they went into this season really, I won't say they didn't invest in it, because that would be correct. They did pay Joe Boom at left tackle. They did pay Brian at center to come back. They did draft the right guard in low rust, just tore his ACL in training camp, and then obviously he's out for the season. So that's not necessarily right to say, but I don't think that they played their cards right along the offensive line, especially. That's for sure the biggest issue. And so, you know, even going into the season, for me at least, offensive line was a huge problem and a huge issue and a massive question mark. Now, some of those moves I think made sense, like bringing Joe Noteboom back, bringing Brian Allen back, but, you know, you're still looking at left guard, David Edwards, you're still looking at right guard, whoever they had penciled in for that spot. There was a lot of question marks there, and they didn't really do anything to solve it. So I wonder if they just thought they would be able to get by with that group, or if they're just too hard-headed, similar to how they were in 2019 when, you know, they go into a season, the offensive line's awful, the running game was terrible, and then midseason they tried the exact same thing that they did with Brian Burns this past year, except they actually pulled it off with Jalen Ramsey, as we know. And, you know, that was a lost season as well, but it turns out in hindsight that obviously that move worked out pretty well. So I don't really know, you know, how they came to the place that they thought that they would be okay going into the season. There was definitely a lot of glaring holes, and I think they probably just expected a lot of these top level players, the elite players that are on the roster, to sort of uplift the roster as they've done for the latter part of, you know, this tenure, the last 2 or 3 years. But the injuries came to, and then obviously those guys aren't able to do that. So, you know, it was a flawed roster. I think you just chalk it up to just a bad offseason, a bad season in general in terms of the injuries. And, you know, you see kind of how the results shake out. Not very good.
Yeah, and it's like, it kind of feels like the McVay Snead philosophy that they've had since they got here that partially won them is responsible for winning them a Super Bowl, but it's like, it never feels like they're focusing on the right things in the offseason, and then they'll go and make these blockbuster Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller type trades, like either late in the offseason or right before the season. But like, I think a perfect example is they need an edge rusher. They aggressively pursued Von Miller to come back. He doesn't come back, and what do? Instead of going out and getting somebody they need, they spend $45 million on Allen Robinson, which is another story. But it's kind of like, it feels like they keep investing in the wrong things in some aspects. And, you know, at some point you're being able to ride your top level talent just to the finish line with plugging holes with draft picks and undrafted free agent. Like at some point that luck's going to run out. And, you know, I think all three of us are very vocal advocates of how much of a disaster taking Tutu Atwell was there for every reason that we've all laid out. But it's just like decisions like that, you know, like it kind of felt like, well, you know, if we had Creed Humphrey, we would have been a lot better at offensive line. Like even if we had like Nick Bolton, we might not sign Bobby Wagner, or maybe we would have been but I don't know. It just feels like we've been, and it's one of those things where you kind of like have to walk on eggshells, because I don't think any of us would say that Les Snead has done a bad job whatsoever building this team, but there are these moves you could point to that, like, at the time didn't make sense and just kind of get over, like, it didn't really matter last year, but you're feeling the effects now.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree. You know, there's always like that boneheaded move that just, it doesn't really add up at the time. And then you sort of talk yourself into it almost. And, you know, you give them the benefit of the doubt because they've obviously earned that, but it hasn't really shook out like that. You mentioned Tutu Atwell. I was going to bring that up, of course, after you mentioned Allen Robinson. That pick made no sense at the time. I mean, nobody valued him in that round. They didn't need a small receiver like that. That was just absolutely unprecedented across the board. Everyone knew they needed an offensive lineman, and Creed Humphrey was sitting right there. He was obviously a very talented player. And, you know, now you look in hindsight, he's a top two, top three center in football, and the Rams have, you know, this receiver that's not going to ever do anything for them. He's basically a high school football player. I mean, the guy's not going to contribute whatsoever. So there's a lot of swings and misses, and I think everyone has them at some point. They're inevitable, but the ones that the Rams have are usually really bad. You know, you talk about a second round pick there, that's just awful. You can't miss that bad on a second round pick, especially when there's a layup like Creed Humphrey in front of you there. You talk about Allen Robinson. I mean, I would understand if Allen Robinson just sucked, and maybe he does. I don't really know, but I think that's part of the problem is we don't even know if he sucks or not, because they didn't even have a plan to use him this year. So you paid a guy $15.5 million per year when you had absolutely no business doing that, right? And, you know, what did you come away with? We have no answers for what he is as a player right now. Like, half of the people think he's absolutely washed, and that's why he wasn't getting the football, and that could absolutely be correct. And then the other half is, you know, this guy was absolutely useless in terms of not even being in the game plan, not being targeted, having pretty much no designed plays whatsoever outside of, you know, inside the 5-yard line in the red zone, which, of course, you'll see his value down there. And then that falls on the Rams. How can you pay a guy that much money and have no plan for a guy to use him whatsoever? So, you know, there's a lot of issues here, and they need to figure out exactly how to go about it, because they can't afford to keep swinging and missing, especially with how few draft picks they usually have. This year, a little bit different, and how few cap dollars they have to spend in free agency. Obviously, you look back in hindsight now, they could have spent that $15.5 million that they spent on Allen Robinson a lot better. Probably could have got an offensive lineman, an edge rusher, you know, maybe even kept Robert Woods. I don't really know, but definitely didn't spend it well last offseason. And you see just a lot of those swings and misses last offseason that really turned out to be some of the killers this season, I guess.
Yeah, and it's like with Robinson, with Tutu, and even like to a much lesser extent when they signed DeSean Jackson last year, it's like they're acting like they need to bring in 19 more wide receivers. Like every move they make, they're like, oh, well, we need to get a receiver in here. And then they just throw the ball to Cooper Kupp every play, which in their defense, you know, that's probably the best course of action. But like they drafted Tutu and they barely played him. Then he got hurt last year. And then same story this year until they had to play him. And to his credit, you know, he looked about as good as he could, but it's still doomed. Like they signed DeSean Jackson, they throw him the ball twice, and then he quits the team. And with Allen Robinson, like, I think Johnny and I were at the point right before Gower where it's like, just throw this guy the ball 15 times and just see what happens. Because, like, where are you at with him? Because I think the current evidence points to him being washed. You know, that's probably where I'd wind up. But again, it's like, we don't really have a clear answer. And we either have to have him on the team next year for a lot of money or eat a lot of dead cap and get rid of him, which neither feels ideal right now.
Yeah, so that's probably one of the biggest question marks, I think, for me going into this offseason. And I don't have that answer just because, you know, we're not in practice and they don't throw him a football in game. So it's hard to know. The gray area, the hard thing to diagnose, I think, with this type of game is he's not, and he's never really been, but especially not in the late stages of his career, the last 2 or 3 years, he's not a separator. He's not a Cooper Kupp. He's not, you know, like a lot of the Devontae Adams, these guys. He doesn't have the speed. He doesn't really have as nifty of a route package, I guess, as you can call it, to separate. That's not his game. His game is win contested catches. Let me climb the ladder. Give me a chance and I'll turn this 50-50 ball into an 80-20 ball. That's the kind of player that he is. And if the Rams want a player like that, then I think he can fit that mold. But if the Rams want a guy who's going to be a separator, I don't think he's that guy. And for me personally, I like separators more than I like guys who are covered and have to make plays that are covered, like the Kenny Galladays. You see those guys kind of flame out a little bit quickly. And, you know, for me, I think I would probably lean a little bit closer towards him being washed right now. But I do think that he can still be a decent receiver, maybe a wide receiver 3. The issue, though, of course, is the salary, which is, you know, a big salary for a guy that probably hasn't earned it to this point. Like you mentioned, they can't cut him. They're pretty much, I won't say stuck with him. That's not necessarily true. They can trade him, but there comes a few caveats with that. One, why would any team want to trade for him considering his salary cap hit this year? And then two, if the Rams do want to trade him and want to get rid of him and are highly motivated to do so, I could see them attaching a pick to Allen Robinson and trading him to a team that will take on, you know, 70-80% of his salary or whatever the case may be, similar to how the Rams did with Von Miller last year, similar to how they did with, I want to say it was Aqib Talib like 4 or 5 years ago when they traded him to Miami. They attached a pick just so they would take on the majority of his salary. So I think that could be a case, you know, something that they do to try and free up some cap space and then maybe go make another run at an Odell Beckham who, you know, theoretically speaking, should be healthy going into next year, or maybe go get someone else. But I don't know. I think, you know, when you look at it at this point, they have enough cap or they have enough draft picks to be able to do this if they really want to. So I don't think it's out of the question. I just don't know how they feel about him as a player right now.
Yeah, and it's like it's tough to, like, you could trade him, but it's tough to really eat any amount of dead cap right now. But that's worked for them in the past, and it's even tougher to give up a pick unless you're dumping him to like a team that's just not going for it at all next year, which is probably really your only course of action. Like, give that team a pick because they don't really need to spend their money. But yeah, it'll be interesting because theoretically we could use him, but they just weren't using him. And, you know, when they tried to use him, it was mixed results. But I
so
would.
That kind of brings up a point, though. You know, because the Rams were essentially not using Allen Robinson to his strengths, and really the majority of the Rams wide receivers that's not named Cooper Kupp to their strengths, how much do you feel like that's on, you know, the kind of offensive philosophy of Liam Cohen, or do you think that rests with kind of Sean McVay's overall plan?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's a hard one to answer, right? Because we don't know to what degree these guys are involved. I would say, you know, at the end of the day, Sean McVay has the autonomy on the offensive side of the ball, and everything will always have to go through him, whether that's play calling or play design or game planning. So, you know, while he gets a lot of the credit for when things are going good, he should also get some of the spoils and some of the negatives for when things aren't going good, because at the end of the day, that's his job. So I think, you know, it has to fall on both. I'm not exactly sure to what percentage we can sort of break it down, but it's just a big concern for me, because I don't know how they can find a better way to utilize him, because this has always been an offense where they've always peppered Cooper Kupp or one specific player. And that's always kind of been the case. And we've seen it happen with a handful of receivers over the course of the years, where, you know, Brandon Cooks suddenly doesn't really get targeted, and then he gets traded, and Sammy Watkins, same thing. And, you know, Robert Woods last year, he was completely, or 2 years ago, he was completely uninvolved, and then they get rid of him as well. To me, it's like they're trying to find something that they aren't able to find. I'm not exactly sure what they're looking for. And I think probably the closest they've ever gotten to finding this number two receiver or this secondary weapon to a Cooper Kupp or to the lead receiver has been Odell Beckham. Like, that was the only time I can recall that they found a second receiver that really, really stood out, felt good. Like, they had a good pairing. Both guys were, you know, performing well, interchangeable type of offense. And of course, we know Odell, you know, tore his ACL and all that kind of stuff. But going into this next season, he's going to be healthy. So now I'm kind of curious, are they going to be motivated to move on from an Allen Robinson like they were with a Robert Woods or a Brandon Cooks? Or, like, that's the one thing I got to give it up to the Rams for, is they're going to swing big, and sometimes it'll hit, sometimes it won't. And when it hits, they usually have a grand slam. And when it doesn't hit, it's usually a big whiff. And that's kind of the cost of playing their game. But I will also give them credit for knowing when something isn't how they anticipated it being. They're really quick to write, you know, the check and sort of move on. And I really respect that, because I think if you swing and miss, it's better to just move on, get rid of it however you can, move on to the next plan, as opposed to let it dwindle for 2-3 seasons and then you're kind of eating the loss, you know, for 2 or 3 years. So I think we'll find out throughout this offseason if they have a plan for Allen Robinson, if they think this guy's still a quality player, because if he's still on this roster, that to me suggests they will have a better plan, or at least I hope they do, for him going into the season. And if he's not, then we know that, you know, they knew that they exhausted all their options. There was nothing left, and they're in seek, I guess, of another receiver.
And if there's if there's one thing Les Snead can do, it's make money go away. That has been his best skill. But yeah, Johnny, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I hope they have a plan, because if they do end up having, if they don't end up having a plan, I just hate to hear Sean McVay's, you know, post game speeches about, you know, we really need to get Allen Robinson more involved, and it's like, no shit.
Yeah, those are the worst. I don't really know what what that's supposed to like mean, or how those are the worst. It's like, yeah, we know you got to get him involved, so it kind of falls on you. We're waiting on you, so, you know, and it just never seems to happen.
Yeah, it's like, it's fucking crazy that we're sitting here and coming to the conclusion that they need a receiver after what they've done for the last 3 years. Like, it's just absolutely bananas.
It really is. With how much they've invested at the position, it's honestly, it's shocking. You know, Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell, and I guess Ben Skowronek, Allen Robinson, Odell Beckham, the Sammy Watkins, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, you know, there's been so many receivers to walk through that door. And the part of me thinks for that reason, I wouldn't rule it out this season. I mean, ideally maybe Odell Beckham, but I really think it is on the table.
Yeah, it's crazy that that came back around. Like, it's crazy that that might happen again.
Yeah.
I hope it does. I think that would be an interesting trio there. Just again, I don't know how they're gonna. You know, if Odell is a fraction of what he was when he came to the Rams, I mean that could be a very lethal offense. You know, giving so many weapons to Matthew Stafford like that.
Yeah, I'd love to see that personally. I think if they can make the money work and if they can still, you know, upgrade what they need to upgrade outside of that, obviously it is a bit luxurious. I mean, I would love it. I would love it. But, you know, Matthew Stafford does need to be able to stand up in that pocket, and that's kind of the biggest issue right now for this team.
Yeah, and I wanted to get to Stafford because, you know, before the season, there was a lot of talk about his elbow. And because of like how disastrous everything was, I don't know if we got a clear answer on if his elbow is going to affect his play because like it's pretty clear that the chief effect of his play was the line. And then beyond that, it was the lack of a running game, the suspect play calling, the lack of anyone doing anything besides Cooper Kupp, and then him just not playing great. His pace for the year, if he played at 17 games, he would have 3,900 yards, 19 touchdowns. That's 1,000 yards less than last year or 2021, and it's over half as many touchdowns. He threw 41 touchdowns in 2021. So, like, not even remotely close pace wise. Where are you at on Stafford today? We're obviously paying him a ton of money. He's a starting quarterback. He's a concussion away from serious concern. But you know, as we've seen with Brandon Cooks, that doesn't mean his career is over. He could just be completely fine coming into next year. But I don't know what to make of his elbow because I feel like we just didn't really, like, I feel like it was just inconclusive in the time we saw with him this year, just because everything else was so on fire.
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly how much it affected him, if it affected him, and how much it'll affect him moving forward. Like you mentioned, we didn't get a lot of time to see. And when we did get to see, obviously, he was kind of getting battered and bruised back there. So it's really hard to know. I think you kind of just have to anticipate him getting hurt at some point. I mean, that's just been who he is as a player over the course of his career, for better or for worse. And partially, you know, you could chalk that up to the offensive lines that he's sort of played behind. But even in that Super Bowl window or that year that you're talking about, I recall him getting hurt in that season as well. I can't recall exactly what injuries he had. Now I think he had his hand injury. He might have had another injury or two, ribs, I think, as well. So ankle even potentially. So this has been a guy that's always been hurt. To what degree is that elbow going to bother him? I have absolutely no idea. The Rams are very hush hush on that kind of stuff. It's very, very hard to know. I will say that's sort of been a blessing in disguise, I think, for this season. Just give him a lot of time to rest up and obviously rehab everything that he needs and kind of clear his head going into the off season. You know, he should be as healthy as he's probably ever been, or as healthy as he'll ever be for the rest of his career, I think. So it is hard coming off of that Super Bowl run, right? You're talking about an extra four games, considering the Rams not being the first seed in the NFC. So that takes a big toll, and I think that could have been part of the reason why the team was maybe so banged up this season. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe why Sean McVay was more burnt out than usual. So I really do think in some ways this season was a little bit of a blessing, just to give everyone a break and not have to go into the playoffs. And you know, you've seen certain players like Aaron Donald even just get the last six games off or whatever it was. So that was ideal for me in terms of Stafford. I mean, you have no choice but to just hope for the best at this point. And I think that's just part of the reason that I'm frustrated with the team is, you know what kind of player he is. He's not a mobile guy. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not any of these new age quarterbacks. He needs an offensive line. And that's what makes me so confused as to why the Rams thought this offensive line that was very subpar across the board was going to be good enough. You know, you have to cater to your talent. And yes, if you have a Jalen Hurts or a Lamar Jackson or one of these guys, you could probably afford to have a little bit less stable pass protection because you know that your quarterback can buy some time and he can get out of the pocket and things like that. But that's not who Matthew Stafford is. That would be like, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers not caring about their offensive line. And that was part of the reason they were terrible this year too, is Tom Brady just can't move. So that was just one thing that I was very concerned with going into the season. And I think the Rams, I hope, you know, kind of open their eyes and know that Stafford's not getting any more mobile. He's not getting any younger, and he's going to need as much help as he possibly can get on that offensive line going into next year. That's the only way you can pray to God that he's able to stay healthy through 17 games and whatever might come afterwards. So right now they're kind of stuck with him. You just got to do the best you can to build around him, I think.
And so, like, yeah, there's, if you ask Lark Jackson, the line is fine. Just make a couple moves. But
right.
This is so crazy. Do you think, like, they've been pretty reluctant to seriously invest in the offensive line since they signed Andrew Whitworth? Obviously, they made some picks, like you mentioned, Logan Bruss. Like, they did take Brian Allen. They did take Joe Noteboom, Bobby Evans, to very varying degrees of success. Do you think this is the year that they finally make a move in free agency to, you know, I don't think they're going to have a cap space to bring in, like, the biggest name that's on the market, but it kind of feels like this is the year where, like, they have to get another vet in there. Like, I know they have Rob Havenstein, but it's even kind of become clear with him, like, if the rest of the line isn't churning out good play, you know, he might fall apart too. What do you think they go there? Do you think they will actually finally invest in it in free agency, or is it something they go with in early in the draft, or the more realistic approach might be they just continue to believe that they have the answers in house, and yeah. I hope that's not the answer.
You know, I think it might be the answer, unfortunately. I like you said, I hope it's not the answer too. I really, really hope that they make at least one splash play. And when I say splash, you know, I'm not talking about some superstar, but like you mentioned, a veteran that you could put on the offensive line, whether that be at center, either guard spot or left tackle. I think you're going into this season, at least for me personally, I think only one offensive line spot right now is solidified and sort of solved. And I think you can probably start to cross off a few others when you think about it a little deeper. You know, right guard, I think Logan Bruss, you probably want to give him a shot, and that's sort of the plan. So you can see the right side of the O-line is kind of settled in. And then you start to talk about the other remaining position centers. Brian Allen going to be the guy? I don't know. They could cut him and save a few dollars, or they could go into the season with him as, you know, as the starting center again and hope that he can stay healthy. But left guard David Edwards, he's a free agent, I believe, and he had a concussion, so he missed the majority of this season. He actually two, I believe it was. And then left tackle, I think the one spot that I sort of always come back to, that's the biggest question for me that I would love most to try and fix up, is left tackle. It really is, because Joe Opum has been, you know, he's flashed a little bit here and there, and they can't really cut him. Just the reality. There'd be $13 million in dead money, $2.5 million in savings. That's obviously not good news for the Rams. And they would probably, I think, are going to be happy to give him another shot. But me personally, I would try to find a way to offload his contract. I would try to find a way to free up a few dollars and restructure some other deals and things like that. And I would go into the market and really hope that I could get a left tackle. You know, I think Taylor Lewan is a free agent this season. He's coming off a serious injury, so that is something to note. You talk about a team like Dallas that could be happily, you know, ready to move off of a guy like Tyron Smith. It seemed like there was a lot of smoke sort of around that. I just think that if you can get yourself a good left tackle, or at least a veteran guy that you can just rely on, you can start to slide pass protection in different ways where you sort of want it to go. And they obviously had that luxury with Andrew Whitworth, and that's when the offensive line was at its best, because then you can help the guys that are not as good by sliding protection away. Whereas this year, you couldn't really do that because Joe Noteboom was just not good enough to play on an island, I don't think. So that would, I think, be the biggest trickle-down effect if you can get a left tackle. But at this point, to be quite honest with you, I would settle for any offensive lineman across the board, if it's a guard or a center. Even, you know, I wouldn't hesitate to add one veteran and then probably another draft pick, one of those first two or three draft picks as well. So I just think for the Rams, they need to find competition across that O-line. They need to find new starters, and they need guys that are at least depth players that can push starters. So my long answer is I would not be the least bit shocked if they think they've got it all figured out and they might add like a nobody and go into the season kind of hard-headed again. But I really, really hope that they don't.
I'd be stoked if we got Taylor Lewan.
Yeah, that'd be a great ad, I think.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, and it, like, yeah, Noteboom's got a big contract. You know, that's another thing. Like Robinson, that was one of their investments last year, and I get why they did it, but obviously didn't really work out.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Defensively, because we talked a lot about the holes on offense, still a lot of holes on defense. And we mentioned recently, like, it's crazy that after the last couple years, outside linebacker isn't one of the holes, like, because that's been a hole for so long, and that's basically the only position on this defense that's fully settled. I want to start in the secondary, because I think, you know, edge is pretty obvious. They need to bring someone in through the draft or through free agency. Secondary is a little more iffy because Nick Scott's a free agent, Taylor Rapp's a free agent, Troy Hill's a free agent. Nobody's crying if those guys leave, but something we've seen over the last few years is players leave and just don't get replaced. And then at cornerback, you know, I mentioned Troy Hill, but it's really just Jalen Ramsey and a bunch of parts that we don't really know how they work yet. Do you think that, like, it doesn't feel like this is something they would address in free agency? This is something they'll probably go into the draft and go for, but do you think that would be the correct move? Like, because it also feels like here, you know, the only real constants you're going to enter the next season with is Jalen Ramsey and Jordan Fuller, and even Jordan Fuller's got some question marks. So what's your take on the secondary currently?
Yeah, this is one of those spots that I'm very intrigued to see how the team's going to play because, like you mentioned, there's going to be a lot of moving parts. I wouldn't be shocked to see a lot of new faces in these rooms. The Rams never really been a team to pay safety, so we can start there. I think Taylor Rapp is probably as good as gone at this point. I think Nick Scott, they would like to bring back on a team-friendly deal, and I don't think that there's probably going to be a team out there that's going to splash a lot of money towards his way. So I wouldn't be shocked if Nick Scott finds his way back. I think it's probably towards 50-50. Really just depends, I guess, on the price and whether he wants to test out the market. Like you mentioned, Jordan Fuller, he missed the majority of this last season, but he's been a pretty decent player for the team. So I think you got to feel pretty decent about him going into this next season. And then the other spot, I think, you know, I feel all right with some of the younger guys. They've done a good job at replacing safeties, I think. And, you know, from the LaMarcus Joyners to the John Johnsons and everyone in between. I think, you know, Russ Yeast is a guy that I thought flashed a little bit. I would be interested to see sort of how he could play in a larger role. I forget the other kid's name now. Quentin Lake, is it? I don't even remember. But they invested in two guys in the late rounds last year, similar to how they did with Nick Scott and whoever else. So, you know, they've done a pretty good job, I think, at replacing safeties. I wouldn't spend money there. I don't think they're really going to look to do that either. That would probably make sense, in my opinion, and just hope to God that you can find somebody on the roster and maybe another day three pick at that spot. The more interesting one to me is cornerback, because this is obviously one of the premier positions in the sport today. And I just think there's question marks all over the place right now, right? You're talking about Troy Hill. He's a free agent. David Long, a free agent as well, probably going to be gone. I think Troy Hill could find his way back. I would like to see that as well. I think he's a versatile player. You could do a lot worse than Troy Hill. And then outside of that, it's, you know, Jalen Ramsey, the one constant, a superstar. In my opinion, I think he might be on the table this offseason for trade. So
yeah.
I don't even know that he'll necessarily be back. That's something that I'm looking at. You talk about some of the younger guys that rotated this past season. Dakobe Durant, he's flashed a little bit. I think the Rams are going to have to give him a shot just based off of the lack of resources they're going to have at that position. And I think he's a decent neutral fit for that slot position. So I'm intrigued to see whether he can continue to grow. Darion Kendrick got a lot of snaps. I think he was a sixth rounder out of Georgia. And no offense to him, but he was pretty awful. So I don't think you'd feel all too good about him starting at cornerback. But he did get a good amount of snaps, and he is instinctive to some degree. So there are some positives there too. So, you know, I would love to see them add a young cornerback or two. Even, you know, you talk about how they want to go about the offensive line. I would like to see something similar where you can add a veteran, I think, in free agency, and then you can add even a draft pick, maybe in that second or third round, wherever it may be. I would really like to see that. You know, you can add a veteran, someone that can start for you today. And that would probably only be the case, I think, if Troy Hill walks. Otherwise, Troy Hill, I think, would fit that role. And then you go into next season with the Jalen Ramsey, Troy Hill, Dakobe Durant starting trio. And if not, I think you can go into the market and look at some other guys that haven't really been paid a lot of money but are pretty decent players. You know, Bryce Callahan, who got signed by the Chargers last offseason, one of the best nickel corners in football for the last X amount of years, and he got paid $1.25 million this year. So not a lot of money. Obviously, you can afford that. Some of the boundary guys, yes, they are going to pay a lot more. That's probably a lot harder for the Rams to swing in their current position, but it's one of those positions that I really don't know how they're going to go about it, because cornerback has always been a position that I feel like, at least for me, it's been very, very hard to peg what the Rams want to do. So I've got all my eyes looking at this spot. I'm very, very intrigued to see what's going to happen. And then, you know, like I mentioned, I don't even know that GMC is safe at this point. You know, that's kind of where the Rams are at in terms of their cap space situation. So it feels like everything's really on the table.
Yeah, like if you get a big offer for Ramsey, you have to consider it. Cause I mean, even on his best days last year, he's down a little bit. He's definitely down a little. If he's on the team next year, I'll be thrilled. But yeah, if you move on from him, you have to bring in somebody. Even if you don't, like the Jalen Ramsey, Troy Hill, Kobe Durant trio, like it's passable if everything else is churning. But if you're going to go with that, you have to get an edge rusher. That trio is not going to contribute as much as you want them to if you're not getting pressure. And you probably need to get a safety in the early-ish rounds of the draft. All logic points to them spending their money and, you know, high draft capital on either offensive line or edge rusher or cornerback. But we are talking about this team. And historically, they do weird shit, so we should move on to running back before we wrap up. Because I've been pretty convinced if no running backs go in the top 20, they will be looking to move up and trade up for a running back. Probably Bijan Robinson, because they're psychopaths. But then, you know, the last month of the year, Cam Akers kind of looked like the guy they drafted him to be. So I'm wondering with you, because people vary on how they feel about Cam Akers today. Do you think he can be, you know, obviously he's not Saquon Barkley, but like, do you think he can be a good, you know, above average, reliable starting running back for this team long term? Or do you think that was more flash in the pan, bad defenses, you know, anyone could have done that?
Yeah, this is a tough one to answer. I think he can be an above average running back, like you just mentioned. I think he can be. The one reason I'm going to go ahead and agree with you, and I would not be the least bit surprised if they went running back a lot earlier than a lot of people think, is because Cam Akers, as far as I know, is a free agent, not this season, but next season. And I don't see any path to where the Rams would feel comfortable paying a guy like that. At least I wouldn't. And you might want to try and replace that a year early. As we know, the Rams have always been a team that likes to have not only just good running backs in general, but usually one guy, like the guy. They like that workhorse style demeanor in that backfield. And so I don't know that they'll trade up for a Bijan Robinson. I guess it depends on how you know much he slides or whatever on draft day. If it's a little bit closer to the late 20s, maybe that's something they're interested in. But you mentioned it, running back. I wouldn't be shocked at all if at 36 they go running back. I could see a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs being someone that they're interested in, a sort of Alvin Kamara like clone. And I think that would even, honestly, to be quite frank, I think that would even make sense. Like, it wouldn't really bother me. Obviously, there's a lot of issues still on the roster, and it's sort of luxurious at this point. But I do think there is something to having a good running back that you can lean on and that can come out of the backfield and catch passes and be sort of a short outlet style receiver. Obviously, it's not the best spend of resources with where the roster is currently at. So I'm not necessarily saying that would be my top choice, but I do think a lot of things are on the table and in play for the Rams this draft class and this offseason. And I genuinely do think running back is one of them.
Yeah, I feel like that's where history points me to, is them going running back in that pick. And I think it's hard to say whether or not that would be a bad move until we see, you know, which running backs are there and what they do in the months prior with this roster. Because, like, if they don't address any of those positions and then a bunch of good running backs go before their pick and then they kind of reach like they did with Tutu. Well, not, they didn't kind of reach on him, but you get what I mean? Then it's like, what the fuck are we doing? But yeah, like, if teams don't draft running backs high that much anymore, you know, Breece Hall was the top running back pick last year and he was the second round pick. I think there's definitely going to be a first round running back this year at least. But if, you know, if it's just Bijan and you've got your pick of the litter at the second round, it might be the move, because we've seen what this offense looks like with Todd Gurley, and I think they want to chase that again. And I don't know. McVay's not coming back to pick a safety at 36. You know, like, if there's not a knockout edge rusher or cornerback at that pick, they're going offense.
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely wouldn't be surprised by anything at this point. Like I said, you know, if you can't get a needle mover, and I'm talking, you know, offensive line, cornerback, edge rusher, or I guess even maybe a receiver if you can't fill it in any other form or fashion, to me, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they go with a running back. Where else are you going to go, right? So, obviously, there should be enough value to not go running back at that spot. But like you mentioned, history suggests that they're going to want that guy. Maybe it's a second-round guy. Maybe it's a third-round guy. Maybe it's a fourth-round guy. I'm not entirely sure. But I do think at some point they're 100% going to invest in a running back. It just remains to be seen. I think more of a question of when and not necessarily if.
Yeah. And I think even at that pick, kind of wrap it up with the draft pick talk. And then John, if you get anything else, but this would be the highest draft pick they've ever made with Sean McVay, if they actually make the pick, which leads me to believe they probably won't make the pick, but I hope they do. And I think they kind of have a luxury here where, unless the best player available is a quarterback or an inside linebacker, they could probably go best player available. But then there's a problem. Like, I don't know if I trust their draft board after the last couple of years to not go for a need position. So we'll see what happens. Johnny, do you have anything you wanted to hit?
Just out of curiosity, what is your, in your opinion, your most pressing need going into the 2023 season? In your opinion, should the Rams go offensive lineman? Should they go edge rusher? I mean, I think kind of the obvious pick would be edge rusher, but at the same time, it's like there was so much wrong with this team and still is. What would you tackle first?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think most people would probably say edge rusher. I would go offensive line. And we need to figure out what the Rams feel comfortable with going into next season, what's solidified on the O-line and what isn't. And if you know, for example, they are dead set on giving Joe Noteboom another chance at left tackle, okay, then we can pivot to, you know, left guards or centers or what the case may be. But to me, I just come back to one thing. And you could put, you know, you could put Nick Bosa, maybe the best edge rusher in football today, Micah Parsons, doesn't matter. You could put either of those guys in this defense, whether it be last year or in this upcoming season. And, you know, they'd be fun. They'd be great. That would be so fun to watch next to Aaron Donald. And they'd definitely wreak some havoc. But does any of that really matter at the end of the day if your offensive line can't hold up in the pocket and Matthew Stafford has any time back there? It just doesn't. It really doesn't at the end of the day. And I know that the Rams probably aren't going to look at it like that because, you know, history suggests, like, you know, that they're going to go with the high value stuff, and they obviously value edge rusher a lot. But to me, that it's really that simple. Like, if you can't score points in today's game, you're not going to stand a chance. And if you can't win in the trenches and run the football, again, you're not going to stand a chance. We saw how much better the Rams offense was towards the latter part of this last season. Those last, I want to say, three games where Cam Akers goes, you know, $140 every game. All of a sudden, the Rams are competitive, even with how terrible the rest of the roster was. You know, they look a lot better just because the offensive line was playing a lot better. They could run the football. So you know, it's really that simple for me. Like, fix the O-line and everything else, I think afterwards can be taken care of, and whatever you hit, and whatever you don't, you know, it just is what it is. You can't fill every hole every offseason. That's just not realistic. But to me, I don't know how you could feel good about going into the season. You can get the best edge rusher. You could get, you know, another stud corner. And if you went into the season with the same O-line as last season, I don't know how you could possibly be optimistic about the returns.
Yeah,
I
pray they agree. Well, Sosa, I know you don't get a hot mic in your face that often to talk about the Rams. I have one more question, but is there any topics you needed to get your shit off on? Or we hit everything?
I think for the most part, we've hit everything. I mean, it would be fascinating to kind of come back in a few months and see what the roster looks like in terms of, have they cut anyone? Have they traded anyone? What the rest of the market sort of looks like, because, you know, we will obviously get a lot of transactional stuff coming up here over the next few weeks where veterans are getting cut and restructures and all that stuff. So that's one thing I will say. The Rams have a lot of leeway when it comes to restructures this going into the offseason. They can, if they really want to push their chips into the middle of the table and give themselves a chance here to get, you know, another shot at this thing. You're talking about a team that won't have a lack of resources if they want it. You know, they got, I think it is 9 draft picks as of right now. Yeah, 9 draft picks. Once those comp picks come in, for the record, they'll have a pick in every single round outside of the first round. And it seems likely, as of recording, that Raheem Morris is one of the favorites to go to Indianapolis as the head coach. And if the Rams lose him there, they'll get a third round pick this year and a third round pick next year. So you're talking about a team that could have 10 draft picks with only first rounder lacking, and then the ability to create upwards of, you know, $60 million in cap space, which they obviously wouldn't do fully, but you are talking about a team that could maybe create 40 or 35 or 50 if they see fit. So, you know, we're talking about a team here that if they really legitimately think they got a shot this year, and they probably should, because I think next year, you know, you're talking about a team that, let's be frank, Sean McVay probably be gone. Matthew Stafford might be gone. Aaron Donald probably be gone. I think you take your chance this season. I think you kind of push everything into the middle of the table and hope that you can make enough moves this offseason to give yourself a legitimate chance at another title.
Yeah, I think at best, the core is here for 2 more years. I'd be surprised if it's anything more than that. We will definitely get you back on after the draft, because we just talk ourselves in circles in June and July, so that'd be great. I'll leave you with one quick question. You know, we've kind of laid out what we think the team can do to get back into it. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, how confident are you today that come next season the Rams will be, not a title favorite, or just in the mix, like in the mix to have a shot at the Super Bowl?
Okay. Well, let me give you one question. Did you consider the New York Giants or the Seattle Seahawks in the mix this season?
The Seahawks, definitely not. The Giants, no, but they did win a playoff game. So I guess ish. Like, I would say they're the bar above the Giants.
I think they could do what the Giants did, for sure. I feel confident that they'll come away at the bottom, you know, at their, again, barring any crazy health stuff, of course, anything can be derailed quite quickly, but I'll say their floor, I think, could be a Giants like season, and their ceiling, maybe, again, this is very early, maybe a 10 or 11 win season. So a championship title contender, maybe not, but I think they can at least compete for the NFC West? I think so. Definitely not going to be the favorite. And again, wouldn't shock me if they came in third either. But I do think we'll at least have something to watch come week 16, 17, 18. You could be talking about, you know, a team that's at least going to be in the race for a playoff spot. So it'll really just depend what they do this offseason, man. They're going to have ample opportunities. That's one thing that I think we can feel comfortable with, is just knowing, you know, if they feel comfortable making some swings, they're going to have the chances to do it. The hope is that they just hit a few more times than they did last offseason.
Yeah, and if you figure it out around the margins, you know, yeah, I don't think they're going to be a regular season Warriors, but you get to this team, if they figure out where their struggles are and they win 10 or 11 games, you know, it's once they're in, this team's best day is, you know, pretty close to most teams' best day or the best team's best days, but they have to figure out how to get there because they did not get there once last season.
Right.
But yeah, well, thank you so much for your time, Sos. You're always generous with your time. Tell the people where they could follow you, and we'll try and get you back on later in the offseason.
Of course, yeah. Thank you guys for having me. It's always fun to get to hop on and chop it up about the Rams. Don't get to do it often, like you said, these days. So it's always fun. You guys can find me on Twitter at QBsMVP. You can find the rest of the stuff out on Underdog Fantasy, if that's on YouTube, or written stuff as well at Underdog Fantasy or UnderdogNetwork.com. And that's it. Yeah, we'll have a busy off season, and it'll be good to kind of get to change it up here a little bit. It was a long season, so.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. All right, well, thank you for coming on, man. It was a blast.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that. We're going to see him soon. You feel me?